98 FM. Now, I'm joined on the line by Andy McCluskey from Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Having been described as not just one of the best synth bands ever, they are one of the best bands ever. OMD have influenced a wave of artists from the XX, The Killers, LCD Sound Systems, James Murphy has cited OMD as an inspiration. The new album, Punishment of Luxury, is OMD's 13th album and was written, recorded and produced and mixed by OMD's Andy McCluskey and Paul Humphreys. It's a follow-up to the critically acclaimed English Electric, released in 2013, and the single Punishment of Luxury, which is the main single, will be out on the 1st of September on 100% Records. So before we talk about the new album, I have to say very good morning. We've got there finally, Andy.
Yes, good to speak to you finally. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Before we talk about the new album and the main single, just to go back in time, do you remember the time when you actually thought to yourself, I want to be a musician? What made you want to get into music?
Do you know, the absolute truth is I never wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be an artist, and I had a place to do a fine art degree. I took a gap year, started the band as a bit of a hobby, and it's been a rolling accident now for 39 years.
What a great way to make a living. Who were your early influences with regards to music? Who inspired you?
I've always liked music that was a little bit sort of left of centre, if you like. So biggest inspiration was German music, particularly bands like Kraftwerk. But also Roxy Music, David Bowie, The Velvet Underground. So always a little bit weird there, you know?
And do you remember the first song that you ever wrote?
Do you know what? Actually, one of the very first songs that Paul and I ever wrote was a song called Pulsar Energy, which we kind of cannibalized and turned into the song that became our first single, which was Electricity, which we wrote when we were both 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, talking about being 16, you've said the album is, this new album is like going back in time and being teenagers again.
It is in many ways because, you know, we started out literally as a hobby, just doing what we felt like it. Nobody was more surprised than we were when we got offered a recording contract and then amazingly sold millions of records entirely on our own terms, doing crazy songs about things that most people wouldn't dare to write about. Mm. Then we sort of, unconsciously found ourselves on the musical industry treadmill. And then when we started again, we decided we were going to go back to the old ethos of doing what we believed was the right thing and just hoping that other people wanted to come with us on the journey, because generally that's when we've made our best music. So hopefully we're not deluding ourselves and sitting in our ivory towers thinking that we're doing something interesting, but we are basically being like teenagers again and just following our own heads and hearts, but hopefully editing ourselves well. We were so sure that nobody was going to buy any of our records that when we got our first recording contract, instead of going into a studio, we took the money and built our own. So that when we got dropped, we'd still have a studio. So we have always written it ourselves, recorded it ourselves. We've often had a bit of help with mixing, but Paul is pretty good technically, and he has a great studio in London. So we usually work in my studio up in Merseyside, and then we mix in his place. And it's pretty good. I trust Paul's ears. He's much better at being objective than I am. I can't mix my way out of a wet paper bag, frankly.
How do you start the songwriting process, and has it changed with the amount of technology there is now?
The one thing that remains constant is that generally the music comes first. We've never been very good at sort of writing lyrics and sort of treating them as poetry and then trying to shoehorn them onto a piece of music. It's much better if the lyrics come as you're listening to the music. They seem to fit better for us. I know other people do it a different way, but because the ethos of the band was always to try to do something different musically, that's why we start with the music first. I mean, by the time we've honed it up and sung on it and got a melody on it, it's acceptably musical. But if you heard our very early versions of songs, it would sound pretty experimental.
Now, you played last year at the Royal Albert Hall. That was a sellout show. You're back on the road again from November. Do you still get the same buzz from playing live?
Yes. You know, the thing is, if you've been lucky enough to create songs that people have bought in large numbers, The one thing that you don't share with them is the experience when they're listening to it, because you're not there.
Mm.
So when you have the opportunity to be in the same room and actually making the music and watching and joining with the people who are listening to it, it's just, it's the most connected and fantastic feeling in the world. So yes, we love touring.
And does it take you a while to come down once you come off the stage? Do you have to have a cup of tea, or do you have to go for a beer, or do you go home? Can you rest straight after a gig?
I perform in a fairly physically demanding way. My dancing, in inverted commas, has been oft commented upon.
Yes.
And I still have no dignity in my dotage. And I find that, yeah, when I come off stage, it's very euphoric. It really exercises all of my demons. But when I come off stage, I'm ready for a shower, a G&T, bed, quite frankly.
How did you come up with the title for the new album, The Punishment of Luxury?
We have appropriated the title from a painting that's in the Walker Art Gallery in Liverpool, which I have actually loved since I was a teenager.
Mm.
However, I must rush to say that it's a painting of bad mothers in purgatory.
Mm.
It's a rather misogynist theme, which late Victorian gentlemen were keen to have people consider, because they didn't think that women should have a place in the world that was outside of the kitchen, the bathroom, or the bedroom, or the nursery, really. And that's certainly not what we believe. So we've appropriated the title to mean basically the modern world, where many people in economically developed countries are well off materially,
mm.
and yet emotionally they're much more unhappy, I think, because we have all been subjected for decades now to this constant bombardment of marketing, which has got to the point where people unconsciously just think, I must have a bigger TV. What will the neighbours think of my car because it's old? You know,
yeah.
My wife needs to look a certain shape. I need to wear these clothes. My kids won't love me if they don't have the new Xbox. That is the punishment of luxury.
Yeah, too true. This is the Facebook generation, I think, coming up. Now, the 12 tracks on the album, what can the listener expect? What journey are you taking them on with the album?
If you know our music from the past, then it will be instantly a familiar journey, because basically we're writing songs about things that we are interested in. Love is the most powerful human emotion, and it is an appropriate subject for songs, but we tend to find that other people's love songs don't often resonate with us because they use lyrics that are quite cliched. So we struggle to write something which we feel is a bit more personal and appropriate. But yeah, I mean, what are we writing songs about? Isotype, which is about how emojis are becoming the new hieroglyphics and actually becoming destroying our methods of communication rather than improving them. The Punishment of Luxury, a song about art eats art, about how popular culture is now just going around in circles. The usual stuff that we write about, but all beautifully, beautifully arranged and produced and wrapped in the sugar-coated melodies for which we're famous.
Now, you've got the 18 tour dates. You are going to be in Essex on the 1st of November at Cliffs Pavilion, and you can get tickets on allthews.omd.uk.com. You've also got support on this as well. One of our presenters called Rob Harvey is a big fan of Tiny Magnetic Pets, and they're on support, are they?
Yes, I'm glad to hear that other people know them. They're a wonderful electronic three-piece band from Ireland, and I came across them completely by chance and just fell in love with their music. So we asked them totally out of the blue if they'd like to come and join us, and they've said yes. So I think I would suggest that people get down to the concert early enough to watch a great support band as well as Orchestra Manoeuvres in the Dark.
I really enjoyed watching the video, and the bit that I really liked is when you had the Facebook thumbs up being snorted.
Yes. It's the video really is a collection of the false gods that seem to have taken over our lives.
If you do get a chance, if you want to go on, I mean, The Punishment of Luxury, we're going to play the single in a second, but if you do get a chance to go on, have a look at the video, because it's very, very clever. Did you sit down and sort of do that work alongside somebody else, or is that something you've put together?
We specifically chose the video director, who's actually from Sweden, because we liked his work with the rotoscoped drawing. We thought that he would be able to kind of condense a lot of information into a short space of a single. And yes, long conversations and sending him images that we wanted him to include. And I think he really he got what we were trying to say, and the video really is a very strong addition to the song itself.
Well, thanks for chatting to us today on Phoenix FM. The Punishment of Luxury is the single, the main single from the album, and it's out on the 1st of September, and we're going to play it now. But you have a great day and don't work too hard.
No, thank you. Great to speak to you, and thank you for playing the song, and we look forward to seeing everybody down at the village.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.